Well, I guess I might introduce myself. I'm just from the Kennedy, just 39 years. My brother Oakley told me a few days ago and asked me that I continue to be a Bible tonight. I said, Brother Oakley, what do you mean? I said, people know everything I know. I've been there for 39 years. So it's not that because of you knowing too much that I'm here. But it's because of the call that's on my life, and I do my best to hear the voice of the Lord. And maybe I can remind you of something, and it might be possible I could hear from the young folks something that they haven't seen yet. Now I prayed and prayed again and another again about the message tonight. At the time, the Lord said the same thing, and I searched from one side to the other because this is not a popular subject. But I do feel like it's something that everybody needs to be well acquainted with. Especially the sinner. And I hope if there's anybody here tonight that's got a little change of sin on your life, I hope you'll listen real closely to what the Lord has inspired my heart with for this service. Father, I thank you today because you've talked to me heart. Thank you that you promised that you will not leave us to labor alone. But that you're going to be with us, especially when we're handling the precious word of God. Not a time for entertainment, Lord. It's time for us to be serious with you. And we're asking that for Jesus' sake, will you open the ears of every person that's here and help them to receive and to remember what you've told us today. Make us a blessing to the cause of God, for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open them to chapter 25 in Matthew. I'm going to read you a little bit. But before I do, I want to tell you the thing that we're going to read about. It's the parable of the talent. The Lord had told of someone that was a businessman, went on a journey, and then handed out talents to three people that were working for him. To one he gave 5 talents, to one he gave 2 talents, and to one he gave 1. The first two were faithful, made investments, and had some extra to return to the master. Let's read about the last one. Jesus had received the 1 talent, beginning with verse 24. Came and said, Lord, when you be that thou art in charge, man, you see where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not fed. And I was afraid, and let me hid thy talent in the earth. There thou hast carried on. That was one good testimony to say to a fellow that was a boss man, I knew you were a bigot. Was that Lord answered and said unto him, Thy wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not sowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talents from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And this is what I want you to listen to. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into utter darkness. Thou shalt be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For in the wealth of thy defense in him, for this description will fix the place. I believe it really is hard. And the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, you blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And what they're going to receive from prepared since the foundation was indeed here. He said to the church, I go to prepare a place for you. He's busy. God of the hundred, and you gave me meat. Out of safety, you gave me drink. Out of a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Out of sleep, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Don't you wish we could have been here when all those things happened to Jesus so we could have ministered to him? He's not here now. So we're coming in the mouth, aren't we? Let's read on. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, whom shall we do in hunger and fed thee? I thirsty and gave thee drink. It's probably some of the kids here that would ask that to Jesus. He said, he's given their hearts to the Lord and are anxious to do things for God. But Jesus is coming and said that to them, to him, we'll see you, Lord, and do that. When shall we be a stranger and put you in? I make it in poetry. And when shall we be sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Isn't that a comforting something? Any time you do a kindness, I think the little. What's that little Archie? I think Archie must have known what I was going to talk about, and I didn't tell him. He's talking about that brother, and I'm talking about that brother. The good things that Jesus has in store for us, he tried to be good to others, and we're distributing that soft stuff in everything we do. Shall they also answer him, saying, this is the ones that have served him right. They'll say, Lord, when shall we a false or a stranger and make it a sick in prison and did minister unto thee. And he, just a minute. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Now, to those that failed, he said to them, These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What is this place of punishment? It's not jail. It's not school phone. It's not even the restroom for older people. A place of punishment. Have you ever looked at scriptures in the Bible to see what it is that hell is going to be like? I read Jesus always said he's going to give the judgment of the nations. And in the nations, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to be in that judgment. A lot of people. And one place in the book tells us that hell has enlarged herself without measure because of the many people that would be lost, and hell will have to open its doors to give them a place to be. What is going to be lasting? Well, the Bible says it's everlasting punishment. Everlasting. But you know, if that was the only thing that was bad about hell, and it was a comfortable place that separated from everybody you loved and everybody that was good, let it be as comfortable as could be. But the company that's there would make you miserable and make you live somewhere else. If I just being an eternal place, it's going to be eternal punishment, it's going to be eternal regret, and every time you have a thought, you'll think about when you're right back here and God guiding you, when you're God says, have opportunities to do things that would please the heart of a loving Savior, but you'll do it. What other things you want to do? You know what I mean? Did you know Christians come forward to marriage with you in heaven? As a woman of sin. But the thing we need to do is be the example that there are those that are not Christians to make them know that there is a joy in the service to the Lord, and that is a pleasure and something to look forward to. But if they fail him, and if they fail too many times with the commitment of her, you can see yourself beginning to go cold and indifferent toward the Lord. And that's when the devil begins to trick you and make you lose interest. I said things to people just recently. Don't do this anymore. Be careful. It's going to be a bind to you. It's leading you off the path. You need to watch out there every day and be careful that you're taking the kindness from God and not from Satan. And I'm going to read you through the scripture today and look at different places in the scripture about what it tells us about hell. Hell is eternal, it's punishment. And the first thing I read about that got me was, real upset thinking about it. The Bible said that he said to the man, that says, cast him out into outer darkness, for there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Are you glad to be around people that are weeping and gnashing of teeth? I can tell you around people that are saying, that's the most, if you could just be something, of these awful things that are making people so unhappy and so rejected. And the worst thing I can think of about hell is we'll go there with a memory. We're going to remember every opportunity we ever had that the blood of Jesus was handed out to us to give us a ticket to heaven. And that'll be the awful torment of anything on earth to know that the place you were going, you could have escaped if you had only accepted the love of the eternal Savior who came and gave his life for you. It's going to be a terrible event. One place of treasure, hell has enlarged itself, and that it is going to bring in all of those nations that have forgotten God. The wicked will be cast into hell, and all nations shall forget God. In the book of Revelation, he tells us that the hypocrites, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I tell you, they've got all things that have been making into hell. And all the things that they do are things that every one of us are very opposed to. You don't lie. Isn't it a terrible business for you that you're giving to somebody that you can't have confidence in? Can't trust their word. Not long ago, I made a trip. I flew to God to a business meeting with some executives, while one of them had lied to another one. And I had to sit there and listen to what was said, and then play peacemaker. And I didn't know the man was a Christian. They were taking the man as unfair and not dependable. He had the grace of God like I've never seen anybody have in my life. And then, said, I did so-and-so, and he looked at him and he said, no, you didn't, boy. You're lying and you know you're lying. I said, what am I doing here? But that's one thing that will wreck any kind of a relationship. If you're untrue, it'll break a relationship about who you are. You need to be depended on every time you speak a word. And people that love a lie will be cast into the pit. Hell, eternal punishment. The people that go there, the darkness that's there, the awful things that will be fought throughout eternity, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. There have to be things and things in this life that will keep you from going to hell. They're not a pleasure to you anyway. Let's stop and think about the things that made me sin. Hypocrite. You are the hypocrite. You are the one. The fearful. I trust in the Lord and help you not to fear anything. Let me tell you. When they told me I was going to have a heart surgery a few years ago, I have never had the Lord more real to me than he was at that particular time. I said, I felt like I floated on a cloud of peace. I was not one bit disturbed. And one of the weirdest things that happened to me was a lady that was going to speak to children. Came into my room in the hospital the night before, and she started to talk to me, and before she got through, she said, you say you are a minister? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, I'd like to be evangelistic, can't I? And I was so thrilled to think that he was going to have somebody working with him that knew how to pray. I said, well, I thank the Lord for being so good to me and don't you forget to pray. She said, I will. I pray all the time when they're having surgery. The fearful, you don't have to be fearful when the arms of the Lord are all around you, taking you through every curve and everything in this life that's not exactly present with us. He is still on a giving hand. Think right out the truth. Whether to serve the Lord or to serve the devil, I tell you, if you've got some talents buried tonight and you're failing to do what the Lord told you to do, then dig up that napkin today. Dig it up and begin to work for God. Dig it up and do what the Lord has given you an assignment to do. And don't feel like you cannot take a chance. The Lord is so gracious to us to give such a marvelous service Friday night. But I tell you, he's going to have to do something to cheer me out. I stand follow with brother Bolton. That man's a preacher. But I tell you, God gives each of us our assignment, and he never has asked one of us to do something that the other fellow is supposed to do. Every one of us is given his assignment. Before we're ever born, God has already got started for us, a path for us to take, and what we need to be while we're in this life. If we fail it, we're going to be unhappy. If we walk with him and let him take us to do what we're supposed to do and to be what we're supposed to be, we'll be successful and the Lord will make about what he wants us to be. That's what he talked to me about when I was so depressed. He said, I made you because I think you just exactly the person that I wanted you to be. And since then, I've been real careful to be questioned about what I mean, really and truly. If I am what the Lord has made me to be, I have to be content with himself. And I have to do the things that he has assigned me, or I will bring happiness into my life. He said, the wicked shall be cast into hell. With all nations that forget God. Now, if you think about the latter part of us, we talk about wicked, I think about people that are terrible that are wicked. Some of these folks, whoever they are, they're burning houses and killing all these old ladies. They're pretty bad people. That's wickedness. It's heartlessness. The very son of home is in the pit. The pit. And this pit is about the bottomless pit. That's where they'll spend eternity. If you look worth it. They'll be cast into hell. And who is that? The Antichrist? The devil? The false prophet? I think I've gone up immediately. It won't be long until it's not according to Revelation. The devil is cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 5 years, he was released. And at the beginning of it, the beast and the false prophet were cast into hell. When the devil was cast into hell, the book says, the devil is cast in where the beast and the false prophet are. And they've been there 1,000 years. That feels too long to me. Thank you, God, for the blood that made the pathway over hell. I tell you, if the devil gives some time and even shed the cross hell, it wouldn't touch us because the blood of Jesus would take care of them. He would keep us protected. Salvation is the greatest gift that anybody can ever have in this whole wide world. And we need to keep it as focus before our eyes. Keep ourselves reminded all the time. I'm under the blood of Jesus protected from eternal punishment in hell. God is the one who is taking care of us. And if you're acting under that protection tonight, I'd be afraid to get my fine soft hand tonight if I wasn't in the blood. I would. That's how bad I think hell is. I think it's too bad for me to take any chance whatsoever. We need to keep under the blood so we know when Jesus comes, we're ready to meet him. What is wisdom? Wisdom is nothing but life choices. Are you making those life choices every day? Have you made the right choice for the most important thing in your life? Where will you spend eternity? If Jesus come this very second, right now, would you be ready to go? He met one of the captains in the church in the hill one time and had a dream. We were building a new church, and while we were building it, we were having services out in a tomb. Had priests out there, and that's where we were worshiping while we were getting the church built. And the piano was out there. I went to sleep one night in my dream that was playing the piano, so we just going on. Everybody's out, the priests were full. And while I was playing the piano, I looked in, everybody was gone. And I thought, oh, Jesus came. And there I was, I got left. I should have made my heart like to beat out of me in this week. I thought I had missed the rapture. It was so real to me. I thought I had. And oh, how scared I was. Let me tell you something. Besides those awful things you're going to have to suffer in hell, there's going to be 7 years of terrible things that's going to happen to people right here on earth. It's going to hit you on top of the suffering that you have to go through because you rejected the only begotten Son of God and His way of living that you are supposed to accept for your pattern of life. That's an insult to the heart of God, and it grieves the heart of the Savior. So if you're here tonight after the office session, if you're here tonight and there's something that makes you question, then it'll be ready if Jesus comes tonight. Thank the Lord for the election question. You're given another opportunity from the hand of God, another opportunity to say, I don't want to go that awful place. It's called eternal hell. I'm so glad that God made a mistake for us. When He created man in the very beginning, He created him to fellowship with Him. It was a loneliness in the heart of God. And He created him for fellowship with Him. Somebody to love Him. Somebody to appreciate their Creator. Right? In hell. The thing that can make heaven really heaven to God is the fact that every single person failed and got acquainted with the Lord. Everybody in heaven will have to know, I got acquainted with the devil, but I made a wise choice. I changed partners. That's going to make heaven really real to the Father. Just think of all the trouble messages that have been made out of all the people that He built. He keeps building them. Boy, I'd get along with you if I'd been him. I said, well, you know, I can't make you ignore him. But that's not God's love. His eternal love makes him continue, and continue. And the more that there are that accept him, the greater heaven's going to be. The Bible tells us that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels way back down to the tree of the made man. And when you go to hell, listen to this. When you go to hell, you'll go there as somebody that was not invited nor welcome. You'll never feel welcomed in hell. You ever gone in that house to feel unwelcome? Ever gone where you felt like you weren't coming here? I did one time in my life. I went to visit with somebody else, the three of us together, a couple of six me with them, and they had a baby. So I took that baby and the table and the baby and he took me the top of the bottom milk you had. And poured it all over the top. Oh, that tasted. Woo! She made me feel very uncomfortable. She came and grabbed that baby away from me. She said, a grown woman. I never saw the light. And she said, well, I didn't take the top off the bed. But I felt very unwelcome. That's nothing compared to what you feel like in hell. In hell, there are talks to you through eternity. Why are you such a fool? You can't be God not in church. You wouldn't have been there after you wouldn't have come here. You can't see me. And you hear this accusation, you leave me here constantly. I'm so glad Jesus loves you. And even with all of the mess we've made in our lives, He gives an invitation. Come on, my friend. Come play with my friend. For eternity is a place for the living. Look at these people that are going to be in heaven. Some of these kids are so happy over there. They're talking about people when we get there, who will know? Who will know everybody? One of them said, we'll know. I think it was Moses or somebody. He said, sure you will. You'll know when you see him. You sure you will. You'll know as you are known. And all of the great things that they've done recorded in this book, wow, and to them, all talk with them. And most of all, I want to sit at the feet of Jesus and tell him how much I love him for the sacrifice that he made for me. How did Jesus do it? We have heard in the book of Psalms, Paul is naked before him, and the second hath no heaven. And when God looks into that other place of torment that he knows you and I are going into, if you don't repent, it makes him lengthen your life a little more, send conviction a little harder, give you another opportunity, because he wants you to escape those things, and he invites you to come to him, that your sins may be forgiven, and your record washed from. Godhead. Is your name written in heaven tonight? Is it on the book for your faith in you, enter into the joys of the Lord? I'm talking to everybody. How do you feel in your heart? Do you feel like if Jesus could call right now, we'd be ready to meet him? Father, I know there are people here tonight that need you, Jesus. And I thank you because you've given us an opportunity to talk about the horrible things of hell, so that we won't go into that place. Lord, if we stop and think of what it's like, we would never choose that in place of the wonderful places of the Lord, those that love you and serve you. Jesus, you send the Holy Spirit out in you. Please, let him stand at the side of those that are not sure that they're ready to meet you. And you give the invitation, Lord. I don't know the words to say, but you do. You just invite them to your blood-stained side, for you blood and father to cover their sins. Offer things that are against them. Written in heaven, if you should come tomorrow, and those sins will be exposed to the world, they will be so ashamed of their lives. But one thing, washes and fight, Lord, when they return to your presence. Bless them for Jesus' sake tonight. And help them to say yes to your voice as you call on me. Would you stand? I've taught you enough to make you know you don't need to go to hell. You don't want to go, and you must not. I'm going to invite you, please, to come and let me pray with you tonight. And let's get your name written in heaven. Can you do it? Okay? As you stand. That one will be your last. Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Yes, Lord. Please reveal yourself, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. We'll be waiting on you. Yes, Jesus. We'll be with you. Yes, but being often received and God with his mercy shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Suddenly, when you will have an opportunity to repent. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. If you're coming in the altar that you want to pray with, come pray with them. Don't leave them praying alone. Thank you, God. Let's bring that chorus one more time. And those of you who are coming and pray, come, and maybe the others that come need to come, they'll come along with you. Thank you, God.
Great altar service tonight.